I'd like to ask John to come forward now. I would like to espouse John's virtues. If I can just pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for John and the work that he does. We just thank you for the love that you've put in his heart, and we just ask that you'll help us to listen to what John has to say and that you'll give him the words and he'll reflect your love to us. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you very much. I'm John. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your invitation. I've never been to this church before. It's lovely. It's so friendly. It's the way Christian churches ought to be. And I say, I do a few talks from time to time for Christians Against Poverty. I go to different churches. It's so lovely. We worship the same God. There's only one God. We worship him. We worship Jesus. We sing the same songs. We do the same things. We are all members of one lovely family, and we're united. It was brought with joy to my heart. Dave says the six churches in Marlow are working together. Their pastors meet together. We're united. It's the way we should be. Jesus prayed that his people would be one. Breaks my heart sometimes to see the number of different Christian churches. We work together. Thank you. I feel at home here. I hope I meant to. So I hope you won't throw me out at the end of what I've got to say. I was a born accountant. Perhaps I still am. I've never been a clergyman. I've never had any theological training. I've never really been taught to speak. So we ought to pray before I start. Father God, thank you for this church. I pray you'll give me now the words to say, and I will say only what you want me to say. And Father God, regardless of what I say, may these people hear what you want them to hear and do what you want them to do. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Who's heard of Christians Against Poverty? Oh, good, good. Right, so I don't need to start right at the beginning. But I want to make three points. First, I want to tell you why we do it. Secondly, I want to tell you how we do it. And third, I want to tell you how you can help. First, why do we do it? Do you know why we do it? We believe Jesus told us to look after the poor. Christians Against Poverty, we're helping people who are poor. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. And he told us to look after them. When did he tell us? Luke chapter 4. I don't know if you've got Bibles. You probably know it better than me. Luke chapter 4. Jesus has been born. He's grown up as a carpenter. He's gone into the desert to be tempted. Been baptized by John the Baptist. Gone into the desert to be tempted. He starts his ministry. What's the first thing that Luke records him as doing when he starts his ministry? Goes into the temple. They give him the scroll of Isaiah. Don't know why they gave it to Jesus, but they did. He's only just started. And he reads, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. That was Isaiah, hundreds of years before. And Jesus says, today this prophecy has come true. In other words, hundreds of years ago, Isaiah wanted people to be preaching good news to the poor. I, Jesus, have come to do it. I've come to bring good news to the poor. That's the first thing that Luke records Jesus as doing when he starts his ministry. If it's the first thing, it might be quite important. So we, Christians Against Poverty, we take that as Jesus wants us, as the Christians of today, to be bringing good news to the poor. However we can do it, doesn't have to be through Christians Against Poverty, we should be good news to the poor as good Christians. First little bit. Second bit of the first point, I take you to the end of St. Matthew's Gospel. If anything's ever said from here that's not from the Bible, take no notice. You know what I mean? It's from the Bible. Matthew 26 starts off by saying, when Jesus had finished saying all these things. So what was the last thing that St. Matthew records him as saying? The end of Matthew chapter 25 is the story of the sheep and the goats. We know the story of the sheep and the goats, yeah? The sheep are the good guys, and they get to go to heaven. And the goats are the bad guys, and they don't go to heaven. They go to the other place, and Jesus doesn't mince his words about what that's like. There's various theological debates about exactly what hell is like. Jesus has been there. Jesus knows. The goats are the bad guys. And how does Jesus define the good guys and the bad guys? The good guys are those who have visited in prison. They've fed the hungry. They've clothed the naked. They've warmed the cold people. They've looked after the poor. All that list of things at the end of Matthew chapter 25. If you look after those, says Jesus, you've looked after me. And if you haven't, you haven't. You've turned your back on me. And that's the last thing that St. Matthew records Jesus as teaching about before he goes off to crucifixion and glorious resurrection that we know all about. So it's the last thing that Matthew talked about in his gospel. It's the first thing that St. Luke talked about in his gospel. There were many, many other wonderful things that Jesus talked about, we know. But if that was the first and that was the last, those are quite important. So at Christians Against Poverty, we take it as our mandate. Jesus instructs Christians of today to look after the poor. That's why we do it. Have I made that point? Are we happy? We're nodding. No, has anybody gone to sleep? No, it's good, good. If I speak too fast or too slow or you can't hear me, just wave. We're all, you know, I'm not up here in your deck. Well, I am, but you know what I mean. If I'm going too fast, please slow me down because I get excited about Christians Against Poverty. I think it's a passionate work. Anyway, that's why we do it. How do we do it? Did everybody get one of these on the way in? A Plan A book. One or two heads shaking. Make sure you pick one up on the way out because I brought lots. This is for you to take away. It tells you about Christians Against Poverty. I'll refer to it in my talk in a few ways. But if you've got it and you just open it at the front page, a picture of a handsome young man and his wife. That's John Kirkby, who started Christians Against Poverty in 1996. He had a successful career as a financial advisor, but it had all gone wrong. And he found himself with his wife walked out on him, left him with two little girls. I think they were 5 and 6. They might have been 6 and 8. And his mortgage had been foreclosed on him. He'd been thrown out of his house. He was living in a rented room with his two little girls. And he was nearly bankrupt. And he worked his way out of debt. And because he was a smart... He's taking a picture of me at the back. Excuse me. Thank you. Sorry. Shouldn't be silly. You're welcome. You know, it's no charge. So, he worked his way out of debt. And as he did so, he thought, how many people are like me in this country? This was 1996, before the credit crunch, years before the credit crunch. How many people are like me, but they haven't got the financial nous or the gift of the gab that he had to negotiate with banks and credit card companies? I must set up a charity, he said, to help people out of debt. And he started off in Bradford. And now, there are, across the country, 262 CAP debt centres. I think the nearest one is High Wycombe to here. We haven't got one in Marlow yet. There's a thought. 262 debt centres. And we flood the world with these little leaflets. And people pick them up and they think, weighed down by debt. Oh, I am a bit. I'll put it in my pocket and I'll go home and I'll ring the number. It's a free phone 0800 number on the front. And people ring that number, which is answered in Bradford, CAP's head office in Bradford. And they say, hello, who is it? Oh, it's Mr. Smith in Marlow. I'm really desperate. I can't cope with my debts. Oh, well, we'll send somebody round to talk to you. And they send two people from the nearest CAP debt centre. I set up the CAP debt centre in Harrow with some friends of mine and our vicar with Church of England. We set it up under our vicar's auspices. And I was one of the first people in Harrow to go and visit people who have called us in for help because they're weighed down by debt. If you look, if you open the Plan A books, turn over two pages. The pages aren't numbered, but there's a page there with some statistics on it, which will shock you if you haven't seen them before. 72% of the people who come to us for help have actually missed meals because they can't afford food. We've heard about the expansion of food banks in this country. It's true. In this country, England, 68% of clients who come to us have been prescribed medication because of the stress that being in debt puts on them. It's making people ill. And that terrible statistic, 40% of the clients who come to us have considered or attempted suicide as a way out of their debts. Those are facts. Those are based on thousands of clients that we've interviewed, we've found out, and we've helped. We can help anybody. But there is a desperate need. And I mean, I look at Marlow. The times I've been to Marlow, I've probably been boating on the river or I've been to some celebration, and it looks like a lovely, wealthy place. But I'll bet there are lots of people within a mile of here who are in debt and who need help, even in this country. And our goal in Christians Against Poverty is to set up 500 centres. We're at 262 now. 500 centres so that everybody will be in reach. and we set one up in Harrow. And they ring and they ask for help. And two of us go together. We go in twos. Jesus sent people out in twos. Good to go in twos, safe and sensible. And listen, we drive to their house. We want to do it in their house because they feel comfortable. They're at home and they'll have the paperwork and the information that we need to look at, we need to understand. We drive to their house. We park outside. It might not be a house. It might be a tenement block. It might be a caravan. They don't live in the smartest places, these people. We drive to their house. We sit in the car outside and we pray. Heavenly Father, fill me with your spirit. Give me the light of Christ as we go and we try and help Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, wherever they are. And as we walk in to their house, their flat, we might be, this is a privilege, we might be the first Christian who's ever walked in there. Now, I didn't say at the beginning, but we are first Christians and second against poverty. The first thing we are is evangelists. We're evangelists who do it by helping people out of debt. Jesus did it in lots of ways. Jesus drew the crowds with his miracles and his healing, and he drew the crowds, and then he opened to them the kingdom of heaven, and he led them to become Christians. He said, follow me. We draw the crowds now, if you like, by helping them out of debt. And at some point, they'll say, hey, why did you do this? Is this costing you a lot of money? And we say, well, it's costing us. We're not going to charge you. Why did you do it then? Well, because we want to show you the love of Jesus. And we get opportunities in people's own homes. I must have done 100 visits over the 3 or 4 years I was manager in Harrow before we moved to Oxford. Must have done 100 visits. In every one, the two of us would have said, hey, before we go, it's all right if we say a little prayer. And the client has never said to me, no. And we pray, dear Lord, please help Mrs. Jones, bring peace on this house, help us to sort out her debt problems. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, is that it? You know, they say they're not, they think I'm going to do some great glorified amen at the end, like Church of England. But that we just say a little prayer and we're breaking the ice. And then as we get to know them, 3 or 4 visits later, as we go back and we help them to teach them how to budget and show them how they can manage their affairs. And as the people in our CAP head office in Bradford are ringing, Barclay Cut. Anybody work for Barclays? No? Good. I'd just like to check. Made a mistake once. In head office, they ring Barclay card and Dixon's store card and Sainsbury's. Whoever they've borrowed money from, they've got debts. They rung from Bradford. So the client dumps the load, dumps the stress. Like Christians, we dump our load on Jesus. These clients, they dump their stress onto the CAP organization, and they take the load, and they do the negotiation, and they say, Barclaycard, we're CAP, we're dealing with Mrs. Jones in Marlow. Please, will you stop charging her any more interest? Will you not put any more charges on her overdraft? We have torn up the credit card so she won't go any higher, and we're going to help you, Barclays, to get her out of debt, because if we don't, Barclays, she's going to go bust, and you, Barclays, are going to lose a lot of money. So Barclays thank us now by giving us 10% of whatever we collect for them. And bit by bit, over the years, we help clients to get out of debt. That's what we do. That's following the Lord's command to help people who are in debt in this country now. I'm looking around. I'll do this more and more now. Am I the oldest person here? Right. Thank you, Phil. That's great. Well, anyway, that's not particularly important. What I was going to say was, can anybody else remember the day when the first credit card was invented? We didn't used to have credit cards at all. If you wanted to borrow money, you had to go to the bank and beg from the man behind the big panel desk with a pinstripe suit. And so nobody did. People weren't in debt in those days. Then they invented credit cards. And just given this bit of plastic. And it's on the never, never, isn't it? You never have to pay it. People honestly think they never have to pay it. So we educate them. And that's the second thing that Christians Against Poverty does to follow Jesus. How are we doing for time? You said I could go until 6. Is it only 5:30? Are we all right? Yeah, good. Are we doing? I'm doing well, thank you. That's better. You upset me before, but now you... The second thing we do, I liken it to my wife. My wife was a GP. Half her time, therefore, she was helping making people who were ill better. But the other half of her time was teaching people sensible living habits so they never got ill. You know, don't have more than 4 Big Macs a day. Don't have more than 4 pints of beer a night. Don't ever smoke. All these sort of things which we know about, but to encourage people to live healthy lifestyles so that they never get ill. I mean, we're all going to die one day. The human body wears out and we're all going to see each other upstairs. But never mind. We're supposed to look after our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, while we're here. And Margaret used to teach people that, as well as to prevent people getting ill, as well as making people better. So the CAP Money course is to teach people how to manage their finances well so they never get into debt. And where's Nigel? It's Nigel somewhere. Nigel's running the CAP Money course. Did you know that? Yes. When does it start? With Barney. Sorry, Barney and Nigel. When does it start? November the 10th. Where's it going to be held? Do you know? Here. And who's coming? Right. But let me encourage you. When we started our debt centre in Harrow, a year or two after that, that was 2008, a year or two after that, 4 or 5 of us from our church went and we were trained as CAP Money coaches and we ran it in our church in Harrow. And the first couple of courses we ran were for the church members, because the CAP Money course is not for people who are in debt. It's for anybody who's interested in learning a little bit more about how to manage their finances separately. And I've been amazed at the number of people who've come on it and have afterwards have said, "Hey, John, it was really good." I say, "Why was it really good?" They say, "Because something I'd never realized." One man came to me and he said, "You know, I've always struggled saving for my holidays." He says, "I've never really been in debt. I've never been out of work. But when it comes to holiday time, I never seem to have, you know, my wife always wants to spend more money." That was a sexist thing, forgive me. "But I always seem short of money for my holidays." He said, "And what you taught me on the CAP Money course was I started a separate savings account in a different building society. And I put, I forget the number, £50 every month into it. And then when it's time to go on holiday, I've got £600 there. And it's more than that because it's gone up with interest." And to just open a new savings account in a separate bank or separate, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it, really? But it hadn't occurred to him. And he said, "What a good idea." And I couldn't even remember suggesting it. But he'd got that. And all sorts of different people get different benefits from going on the CAP Money course. So I do encourage everybody to go on it if you can. I don't know, have you got 15, 20 maximum? Get booked on it. It's 3 Mondays, 7:30 in here. And when you've been on it, or even before you've been on it, bring your friends. Bring your friends. It's in here. It's in church. It's probably impossible to come through that door without the Holy Spirit affecting you. It's probably impossible. You've got non-Christian friends who you love. Bring them on the CAP Money course. You don't need to tell them they're going to get zapped by the Holy Spirit. They'll find that out. Jesus will touch them. You need to tell them, "Look, I'm going on this really interesting course. It's free. We're going to get coffee and cake." Are we getting coffee and cake? We're going to get coffee and cake, donuts, whatever. Invite them along. We eat. We don't meet unless we eat. Bring them into the church and get them on the CAP Money course and they'll love it. Everybody benefits from it. I want to encourage all of you to bring a friend and get booked onto the first one. There'll be second and third and fourth ones afterwards. There are now, I think, 1,500 churches around the UK that are running the CAP Money course. It's been running now for, I think it was invented 6 or 7 years ago. It's been refined. It's getting better and better. The coaches are getting better and better. It's a fantastic course. Nobody I've ever known go on it and say, "That was a waste of time. I never learned anything." So please, can I push the CAP Money course? When is it? 10th of... at 7:30 here. Okay? At least we got that. Those are the 2 main things that Christian Against Poverty does. The third thing that we do, we've started CAP job clubs. A lot of the clients who come to us and they're in debt is because they've lost their job or they've never had a job or maybe they've come out of prison or we've just got them out of an addiction or something and they find it difficult to get a job. Often it's for silly reasons, like they filled in the application form and they spelt the company name wrong or that they couldn't read their writing so well, and we helped them fill in the application form. I've heard of one lady who filled in the application form beautifully with our help, and she sent in the application. She was called to interview, and on the morning of the interview, her little girl was ill, and she couldn't go to the interview, and so, surprise, surprise, she didn't get the job. And if we'd known, she could have rung us up, we'd have provided a babysitter, or we'd have taken them both to the interview and sat in the car outside while she was in the interview. There are sometimes silly little obvious things that we can do to help people get jobs who wouldn't otherwise have got jobs. And forgive me, I don't know the statistics. The job clubs have only been going 2 or 3 years. But now there are, I believe, dozens, if not hundreds, of CAP clients who've come to be helped through job clubs and have now got employment who've never had it before. And this is so important. This is, again, helping people out of poverty. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. And we always will. They're always going to be like that. In the early church, there were no poor. They shared their belongings. Those who had houses and land sold it, laid the money at the apostles' feet. The apostles distributed. There were no poor people among them in the church because they shared. But outside the church, Jesus said, there will always be the poor, and it will always be our duty, his instruction to us, to help them. That's what Christians Against Poverty does. We help people who are in debt. We teach people the CAP Money course so they'll never get into debt. And we help them with job clubs so that they're that's one good way of helping them to increase their income to prevent them from getting sucked into debt. I'm going to interrupt now, if I can, for 4 minutes. There's a DVD which probably speaks better than I do about what CAP does. And then after 4 minutes, if you're still here, I'll come back and finish off.
My dad is always shouting at my mum. My mum keeps on telling me she's worried about money. Every time someone knocks at the door, I'm scared. My mum makes me open the door and tell them she's not in. Some days I can't go to school because I don't have the uniform. I know Mum finds it hard to feed us, so I look in bins behind the shops or steal food and give it to Mum.
As an adult, I carried on what I'd learnt as a child. I was in debt and I resorted to crime and prostitution to make ends meet. When I called CAP for help, I was seriously depressed and suicidal. I hadn't been out of the house for 15 months and I was reliant upon alcohol to numb the pain. When Nick and Anne from CAP came, they came into my home. It was amazing because I was so depressed and suicidal and all thinking about going back to my old life. And they started praying for me and showing me the way to get out of debt. I started to feel God come back into my life. Matt and Nick told me that I had to put my debts in an envelope, unopened, and send them off to the CAP office. I couldn't believe it because no one ever, I'm 15, no one has ever helped me with my debts. It's like a side of the Father heart of God that I'd never seen before. And it was the Father that I'd wanted all my life. What was good but was very hard was to stick to the budget that they'd set for me for 2 years. If you want to get out of debt, you've got to do what they tell you and stick to it and be disciplined. And it's worth it in the long run to become debt-free. Becoming debt-free through CAP and the support and love they've shown me and given me has totally liberated my life, and I'm free to go forward into my future without them ball and chain around my feet anymore.
Hi, my name's Suze and I live in Southampton. I'm a mum to 2 small children, and our church opened up a CAP debt centre. 3 years ago, I became a life changer and just gave regular donations, which I knew were going to a good cause. Since we opened the centre, I have seen firsthand how CAP has a massive impact on the families like Bev's that live in our community. Now I know that I'm a life changer. I know that CAP have got a vision to expand their centres, so will you join me and 20,000 other life changers who have got a heart for the poor and really want to see people come to know Jesus in a personal way in their communities? Will you become a life changer today?
That brings me to the third part of my talk. I've told you what we do and why we do it. We call ourselves Christians Against Poverty. And for some reason in this wonderful country, that rules us out of getting government grants, local authority. They won't support Christians because... not politically correct, is it? That would be biased. So we survive on donations. We're surviving more and more now. I mentioned to you that the more and more people we help, Barclays and all the banks and credit card companies, they give back to us 10% of what we collect on their behalf because we've done their work for them and we've prevented their client going bankrupt. So we're saving them money, and more of our money is coming as a 10% give back. We call it a tithe, but they don't know what a tithe is. But we get some income from Barclays. But most of our money, we rely on individuals like you and me. We call them life changers because they're changing lives like Bev's life was changed. There are now over 20,000, and forgive me, I want to, you know, we survive only because money is coming in from regular givers, the 20,000 life changers we've got. Even more important than that, in your leaflet, I've given you a response form. Even more important than money to Christians Against Poverty is people's prayers. I'm not a theologian, and I don't quite understand how the mechanics of prayers work. But I think somehow we believe that if more people pray to God about something, he's more likely to do it. I know it's not going to be mathematical like that, but we believe in prayer, don't we? We believe prayer works. Not every prayer I ask Jesus does he answer the way I want him to answer it immediately. But somehow, if we pray against Ebola, if we pray for the situation in Iraq, we're all doing that, aren't we? We're doing it because God will be not persuaded, but God will see the passion in our heart, which is sharing his passion for those terrible things. God has a passion for the poor people that we're trying to help. And God wants us to pray about them. And that's my first point about prayer. My second point about prayer is I think, and again my theology may be entirely wrong, that if we pray for Mrs. P in Sunderland, even though we've never met her, we don't know her full name, that's probably a more effective prayer than if I kneel down by my bed before I go, and dear Lord Jesus, please bless CAP, amen, I'm going to bed now. If we just do vague prayers, I think the specific arrow prayers are better. They're more likely to be answered. Look, if I'm going off your church's theology, forgive me. But we believe in prayer and we believe in specific prayers. And therefore, if you would just go on our mailing list, you don't have to give any money at all. If you go on our mailing list, they will send you, either through the post or more often than not by email nowadays, the specific things that need praying for. There might be problems in head office. They want to get from 260 to 280 centres. We might pray for a centre in I don't know, Timbuktu. They will tell you the sort of things to pray for. They won't name clients, but they might say that the CAP Centre manager in Hartlepool has you know, her husband's ill, and please would you pray. That all sorts of things come through the prayer list, and I've been on it now for a few years, and every month something comes, and you can pray about it. And then, bless them, because this is always so important, next month you'll see answers to those prayers. And that encourages us to pray more. And then we see more answers, and so it multiplies. So everybody, it would be lovely. I brought some pens. I brought loads of these forms. It would be lovely to get, regardless of money, It would be wonderful to get everybody on the CAP prayer support list. And you might not be able to pray every week. You might not be able to pray every month. If you only pray once a year, isn't that better than nothing? I don't understand the arithmetic. But please, please, would you all fill in one of these? I brought some pens. I'll be just outside. I've got set up a little table there to take people's forms back if you would fill them in. And if you feel that, you know, you'd like to help us financially, I don't apologise, because, you know, we need people's money. God's got it all upstairs. He's put lots of it in our bank accounts. Some of us can spare it. Some of us could go without... I said this once in a church and I got shot. I don't think I'm going to get shot. Some of us could go without a pint of beer. Oh, I said that once in a Methodist church and they nearly shot me. It's okay. I can see that you're all heavy drinkers, and to go without a pint of beer probably do you good. Or fast for a meal and put the £3 that week into your CAP standing order. Whatever you would like to do, we will gratefully receive it. And you don't have to give me all your bank details now. If you'd like to give money, just tick, there's a little box that says, I would like to make a donation. And if you tick that little box, give me the form, somebody in Bradford will ring you up in the next week, because you've already on the prayer list. Somebody in Bradford will ring you up and they'll say, thanks for ticking the box. Now you've had a chance to think about it. You know, you're not listening to that idiot who came to your church on Sunday. Now you've had a chance to think about it. How much would you like to give? And it might be £3 a month, or it might be £100 a month. Whatever your personal circumstances are, but we rely on people like you. There's 20,000 or more. Be good to have another, 50 from Marlow. So there's a thought. Now, this book, which John Kirby has written, I've brought 50 copies of this. And my instructions from Bradford, I have to say this quietly in case it's been recorded, my instructions from Bradford are to give this book free to anybody who ticks the box, they don't mind giving some money. Now, that to me sounds just a little bit like law, and my Christian theology is that we're now under grace. So, under grace, I will give this book to anybody who would like it, up to one per family, and under grace, I will take back from you any of these forms that people would like to give me. There'll be no one for one, which is what I'm instructed to do. We'll do it slightly more graciously. But sadly, in a lot of churches, I seem to lose more books than I gain response forms. I'm sure that won't be so in Marlow. I think I'm pretty well finished. I'll be just outside there collecting forms. It'd be wonderful if I got a good response from Marlow. If anybody's got any questions, they'd like to know more about it. If anybody thinks I've said anything I shouldn't have said or my theology's out of order, please correct me afterwards. But I won't be shooting off immediately unless, you know, you throw me out of the building. I love talking about Christians Against Poverty. I could tell you about lots of my personal clients, like Bev, that I've met, that I've helped. There isn't time for me to do it for everybody now, but it really is. You can see I'm passionate about it, and I hope that with the CAP Money course, maybe in years to come, maybe in months to come, Marlow could have a CAP debt centre here, maybe a CAP job club helping the people of Marlow, not just to get out of debt, but to find a way towards Jesus and into the kingdom, that he came and died, that the way might be opened. So thank you very much for listening to me. I hope I'll meet some more of you later.